Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. I am proclaiming a series about a rush of grace, and I want to talk to you about true religion. And I pray that as you listen, you will receive a rush of grace that will help you to become truly religious. Let me share with you the gospel from Mark chapter 12. A scribe came up to Jesus, and he heard him disputing with another. And seeing that he answered him well, he said, "Which commandment is the first of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher.'" At the time of Jesus, there was all kinds of rituals, rules, and regulations. There was different sects like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Levites, the Essenes, the Zealots. So there was a whole conglomeration that comprised Judaism. And because of all the sects and because of all the rules and laws and regulations, there was confusion. The Pharisees, for example, had 613 precepts of the law. And that's why the scribe comes up to Jesus and says, "What's the most important out of all these hundreds and all these denominations and all these sects? What's important?" I call this program True Religion, because I want you to get to the heart of the issue, to the heart of Christianity, to the heart of our faith. And the heart of our faith is love. Loving God and loving others. And of course, loving yourself. There was a problem going on in the Corinthian community. Corinth is a city in Greece. Paul lived there for a while. He wrote a couple letters to the Corinthians. And the problem that was going on was elitism. God had, through grace, given gifts to the community, gifts like prophecy, gifts like tongues, healing, preaching, apostleship, all these glorious elitist type gifts. And Paul saw the problem that was going on. One person would think they were better than another because of the gift that they had. So he wrote a letter to the Corinthians, and he said, "Make love your aim. Make love your aim." And he said this in Corinthians, that love is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Love is a charism, and that word charism means a gift. So the famous chapter that he wrote about love is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Many people have it read at their wedding. And Paul, again, he said, "Make love your aim over all the gifts. You know, don't fight over who's better because, you know, one prophesies, another heals, another does miracles." No. Make love your aim. Love is the heart of our religion. And he said, "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. Doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Doesn't rejoice at the wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." And then he says, "Love lasts forever." And I really like that because he's proclaiming who God is. God is a God of love. We all know John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes wouldn't perish but have eternal life." So the point is that God loves us by giving, and that's exactly what love is. Love is a giving thing, and love is also sacrificial. Psychologists will tell us that love is a decision that you make, and yeah, it is. It's not always a feeling. We don't always feel like loving, but it is a decision. It is sacrificial. I've met so many people that are loving people. I think about the decisions that are made and the sacrifices that are made. I know this one woman who was living in Florida, and in the dead of winter, she flew up to Pennsylvania to be with her mother because her mother was hurting. What is that? That's love. It's sacrificial. I think about a woman who is willing to forgive her adulterous husband who's been committing adultery on her for many years. What is that? That forgiveness? That's love. And then I think about a wife who stays in a marriage with an alcoholic husband, even though he continues to drink. What is that? That's love. And then I also think about parents who stick with their children, even though they've fallen away or they're into drugs, or perhaps they confess to them that they have a gay lifestyle, and they stick with them and they don't abandon them. What is that? That's love. And then I think about people who are working and they have coworkers who are abusive and bullyish and mean, and yet they're still kind to them. And what is that? That's love. Jesus told us, you know, if you love the people that you're with, that's all well and good. Even the pagans do that. But he said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hurt you. Turn the other cheek. So in other words, he wants us to come to the point where we are sacrificial, where we are making that decision to be generous, where we don't allow people to affect who we are, but rather we allow God's love to flow through us to them. Wow, these are radical, life-changing, earth-shaking teachings. Love your enemies. And Jesus, of course, he was that way. When at the cross, he answered not a word. He didn't strike back. He was like a lamb led to his shearers, said not a word. He was a very loving person, as you know. And I like the Last Supper. We celebrate this on Holy Thursday in the Catholic Church. And during the Last Supper, as you know, Jesus took a basin of water and he washed the apostles' feet. And then when he finished, he sat down and he gave a teaching. He said, you call me Lord and you call me Master. You do so right because I am your Lord and your Master. But if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, how much more ought you to wash the feet of others? Wow. Think about that. God in the flesh, washing our feet. And he gave us this parable. He gave us this example so that we would become like that. So whatever you do to follow Jesus, whatever you're doing, the main part, the basic truth, the heart of our religion is love. Jesus told a parable, and I want to share it with you, and I do so with a little bit of reticence, because the parable has to do with a priest. It's a very troubling parable of the Good Samaritan, and it's in Luke chapter 10. You know what happens. This man is traveling from Jericho to Jerusalem. He's going up in elevation, up to Jerusalem, runs in with robbers, and they beat him, and they almost kill him, and they leave him half dead on the side of the road. So here we go. Here comes a priest. So everybody's going to think, okay, that priest is going to help that guy. He's a religious man. He's going to stop, and he's going to do whatever he can to help that man. And the priest sees the man, and he goes to the other side of the road. Whoa. Okay, next person's coming. A Levite. A Levite is a priestly type person in Israel, another very religious person. So you expect that the Levite is going to stop, but he goes over to the other side of the road too. All these religious people that are going up to Jerusalem, they miss the elephant in the room. And now finally, this third person comes along, and he's not a religious person. He's not even a Jew. He's a Samaritan. Samaritans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. There's a long history to that, but the people of Jesus' time knew what was going on there. He comes, and he sees this guy by the side, and he has a heart of compassion. The word in the Greek is splanknizomai. It's your guts. He was moved in his guts with compassion. And as you know, he bent over, helped the man, poured oil into his wounds, and he brought him on his own beast. Now, he had to walk because now the man's riding on the donkey, brings him to the inn, pays for him if there's going to be any more. So he takes total care of the man. And I've discovered in my heart that I have compassion. And I used to have compassion even when I was a young man. And that means that you feel for people, you see their plight. But compassion really isn't compassion until you do something. And that's why at the end of the parable said, who's your neighbor? Go and do likewise. That's the whole point of the parable. He's saying that everybody's your neighbor, and if you want to be a neighbor to somebody, then don't just feel compassion, be compassionate, do it, make a difference in somebody's life. And that really is the goal of this program. I want you to be a on-fire follower of Jesus, and in order to follow Jesus, you really got to be a loving, compassionate person that is making a difference, and you can do it. I found that out in my own ministry, and what I mean by that is when Jesus touched me as a young man, the number one thing that I discovered right away, you can't miss this, is that you got to get involved. Now, I'm pretty introverted, and I didn't really want to get involved, and I'm kind of shy, but I realized that, you know what, if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I can't just have compassion in my heart and then let the world be the world. No, I have to make a difference. I have to do something. I have to make a move. Go and do likewise. I'm not going to be like that priest that goes to the other side of the road and somebody will take care of him. I got to go offer sacrifice. No. True religion, and it says this in the letter to James, true religion, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. Is it sacrifice? No. Is it ritual? Not necessarily. Rules and regulations? I don't think so. Going to church? Not really. Visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Oh, this program is called True Religion. Now, am I saying don't go to church? No, of course not. Go to church. You know, be religious. Have your rituals. Do your laws. Do your obligations. But don't miss the elephant in the room. Don't miss the heart of it all. And the heart of it all is people. And reaching out to people. And as a Catholic priest, that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm trying to empower you to take that giftedness that you have, that charism it's called in the Greek, that anointing, that rush of grace, and to make a difference. And you can make a difference. One person can make all kinds of a difference. I think about Mother Teresa, for example. You know, she's the one that most people talk about, but Mother Teresa was a great saint. She's been canonized by the Catholic Church. Well, she's at her home for the sick and the dying, and they're attending to a person who had just been taken in from the streets. He was covered with worms, very thin, very sick, and he's dying. Well, right at that moment, a man comes into that home for the sick and the dying, and he's all angry. He's an atheist, and he comes in there, and he sees this man covered with worms, and the sisters were bending over and bathing him, touching him, speaking to him very tenderly when he looked like a wretch. And the man went over to Mother Teresa and said, Mother Teresa, I came in here, my heart was full of hate. I was angry. I didn't even think there was a God. But when I saw your sisters touch this man with the worms, this man who is dying, I felt the love of God. And I'm leaving totally different. I'm letting go of the anger, and I'm believing in God. See, love is such a witness. I remember, for example, most of you are married that are watching this program, and of course, love is what brings you together. And we celebrate marriages and anniversaries of marriage because it's a witness to the rest of the community that love works. I remember one time I was with my mom and dad, and it was their 50th anniversary of marriage. And this is after years of being together, knowing each other's idiosyncrasies, knowing each other's faults, and they wanted to renew their vows. And because I'm a priest, I stood right between my mom and dad as they professed their vows once again, their love for each other. And talk about a witness. As I looked at my dad and looked at my mom, as they said, after all that they had been through, raising the children, the sufferings, the trials, knowing each other's idiosyncrasies, having to forgive each other after all these years, I saw the love that they had for each other. And the way that they did their vows, they professed their vows, it was like it was the first time. It was like their wedding day. And what a privilege it was for me to stand right in between them. So love is powerful. Love endures forever. Love is patient and kind. And love is the greatest gift. Don't miss the heart of our religion. We have something in the Catholic Church called the Corporal Works of Mercy. And what are they? Feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, visiting the sick, visiting the imprisoned, and burying the dead. This is called the Corporal Works of Mercy. And I want to make this point clear. We aren't justified by being a loving person, by doing works of mercy, visiting the sick, and visiting those in prison. So don't think that that's going to put you right before God. No, we're justified by the blood of Christ. You've heard my preaching about the cross. We're justified by believing in Jesus, that he died for us, and that puts us right with God. However, faith has two sides of the coin. One side is you believe, you simply believe. The other side of the coin is action. Faith in the Gospel of John is a verb, and a verb is an action word. So if you truly do have faith, you don't live in a vacuum. You just say, hey, I believe that Jesus is my Savior. I believe he died for me on the cross, and I'm just going to live any other way that I want to live. No, you can't live like that. If you really believe, then you become like Christ. That's the goal. That's true religion. And if you become like Christ, you have a heart of compassion. You reach out to the poor. You visit those in prison. You help those in need. You don't pass on the other side of the road. You're not so religious that you got to go up to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice. Meanwhile, this guy's there dying. You have a heart of compassion. So please realize that that doesn't justify you, but it is a part of faith that does justify us. We are justified by grace through faith. That's what saves us. So again, these works that I'm talking about, that's not what puts you right with God, but it is a part of faith through which God's grace flows. I get to travel, and I meet people all around the country, and I have met some of the greatest saints, people that are active, and they're making a difference, and they're changing the world. I see people involved as youth group leaders. That's a challenge. I used to be a youth group leader, trying to reach out to young people. Oftentimes, you don't get a whole lot of reciprocation from young people. I've seen people that are teachers, that work hard as teachers. You can't do everything, but you can do something. There's all kinds of ways to get involved, and I'm especially appealing to you that are watching my programs. I want you to live with passion. And I'm praying, and part of passion is doing and making a difference. You can't do everything, but you can do something. And I'm praying that you will receive a rush of grace to get you moving, to make that decision. You can make a difference. I think about some of the people that I know that are making a difference. I have a friend, I was preaching up in Michigan, and I met a man. He took me golfing, and he was a GM, General Motors executive. And even though he was making a lot of money doing that, once he retired, he could have just sat on his laurels and go and play golf for the rest of his life. He decided to get involved with Habitat for Humanity. If you know anything about Habitat for Humanity, it's an organization, interdenominational, that is trying to build homes for those who are hurting, for those who are homeless, or for those who are low in income. And so he not only got involved with Habitat for Humanity, he became a director of Habitat for Humanity and a full-time position without accepting any pay. He draws up plans, he works hard, he coordinates volunteers, and he gives himself full-time to this. And he's done this for many years. And I think love is such a witness. I think about my dentist. My dentist in Houston gives me free care because I'm a priest. He takes good care of me. But he also goes down to a place called Casa Juan Diego in Houston. That's where the immigrants and even some illegals that are coming into the country go for help. It's a place where they can get some food. And he offers his services once a week, helping them with their teeth. And some of their teeth are in really bad shape. And he works on them free of charge. Gets no reciprocation. But love isn't after reciprocation. Love is sacrificial. It's generous. And then I think about one of our priests in Haiti. One of our priests, a Passionist priest, his name is Father Rick Fichette. He is also a doctor as well as a priest. Haiti is the poorest place in the Western Hemisphere, if not on the face of the earth. There are people there that are hurting in tremendous ways. They've had earthquakes, they've had hurricanes, a lot of people have died. And Father Rick Fichette, they call him the Mother Teresa of Haiti, goes there and he ministers to their needs without cost, without accepting money. He just simply helps as a doctor and as a priest. He attends their physical needs and he buries the dead. So I think about my own life also that, as I said, I just couldn't stay sedentary. I had to get moving. If I'm following Jesus, it's clear from the teachings of the scriptures. For example, Matthew 25, I believe it's chapter 25, Jesus tells us that the last judgment, the determining factor will be, did you feed me? Did you clothe me? Did you visit me? And everybody's going to ask, when were you hungry? When did we see you? When did we clothe you? And he said, whatever you did for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me. So Jesus is making it clear that reaching out to people is very important. So what happened to me is after Jesus touched me as a young person, I started getting involved with young people. I worked as a social worker at an emergency care shelter for troubled adolescents, emotionally disturbed adolescents. And then I realized that God was calling me to more explicitly proclaiming the gospel as a Catholic priest and preaching. So the point I'm trying to make is that when you follow Jesus, the heart of our religion, the key to it all, isn't religiosity per se and going to church and ritual and rules and rubrics and all that. And as a Catholic priest, believe me, I do those things and I know all about it. The heart of our religion, of course, is love. It's people. And I really believe that, I'm not advocating not going to church, but I really believe that God would rather have you attending to that man on the side of the road than he would having you go up to the temple and offer sacrifice. I desire, remember what Jesus taught? I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That was the heart of Jesus. The heart of God, of course, is mercy. So more than anything, I want you to remember Jesus washing our feet. And notice how Jesus lived. He reached out to the unlikelies. He traveled. He was on the move. He was doing. He sought out the marginalized, the poor, the sick, the disenfranchised, women, tax collectors, prostitutes, outcasts. And he said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So in other words, Jesus was always on the move. He was a going person. He had a going concern. And that's why he told the Samaritan, go and do likewise. So I'm going to invite you, and this is my hope for you as you're watching this program, I'm going to invite you to make a move. Many of you are already involved, and I'm so glad for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that. One of the ways you can get involved is through my prison ministry program that I have. It's called a pen pal program. You don't even have to leave your home. You can just simply write prisoners. It's very anonymous. Call that number. We'll tell you all about it. And then get involved in your own community. Just pick one area. God will use you. And I want to conclude by sharing with you something that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Of course, St. Francis, a great man of compassion, a great man of love, and it's called, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. And it goes like this, Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there is doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there's darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.